Good evening, friends. Welcome to another edition of Corporate Crash Course. My name is Cody. I'm your warden here, joined by my my four compatriots, Chris, Nick, Mike, and Zoe, as we continue on our adventure in another bug hunt here using Mothership. I don't know. How you all doing, my friends?
Team Mission's doing great.
Excited. Not at all worried about the position we left off in.
Yeah.
Good. You shouldn't be.
I'm feeling confident with the roll of duct tape. I think we should be fine.
I'm so confident that I did not create a second character.
Well, yeah, no. You're,
that's
you're
a lie.
You're dead no matter what, so who cares?
Hey, he has 1 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm. What's Penn's high score, Nick?
I guess. What are we at?
Seven episodes, four? I think. Six?
Seven?
No, session six.
Session six. Well, that's, I mean,
five, I guess.
I think that's above average. Isn't four supposed to be the typical?
Yes.
Wow, he's above average.
I mean, everybody here is.
We're pushing our luck now.
Note to self.
Oh, anyway, time.
Let's jump back in since everybody wants this climax to be resolved, and check in with team up top, sitting in the APC.
Team mission.
Sorry.
We'll check in with Team Survival later.
How's Dr. Reedham doing? Still tied up? Still sitting mm-hmm. in the front seat of the APC?
I assume at least Chet's trying to, like, at least try to come. I mean, did we tape her mouth or no? I think we did.
I believe we taped her so she couldn't move, and also she kept screaming. So we taped
okay.
her.
Okay. So I assume as Chet, I am trying to at least apologize and also comfort her, being like, hey, listen, I am. As she's just muffling over, she's like, sorry about this. I get it. I'm a scientist too. I love my science. I'm a big science guy. I have shirts that say I love science in various different languages and formulas.
I'm a big science guy. That's a t-shirt
okay,
right
come
there.
On, my immersion. Where's your reenactment of the doctor taped up?
Bastards!
See you. Not sure what the bastards part was referring to, but I assume you get it.
Yeah, no, she understands. She's fine. No big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good with that.
Okay, well, I'm just kidding. Really, the action's all going on down in the reactor. So I believe last time we checked in with the two people down in the reactor. One of you had your suit compromised and were clawed within an inch of your life as you dove into the water and swam down through the hatch, which you would use to get into this here room, and made it back up to the stairs. How's Penn feeling there, Nick?
Right now, panicked. Mechanically, well, I guess that's up to you, but personally, yeah, Penn is in, I guess, flight mode, because fight ain't gonna fly.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, the good news is he absorbed such a massive amount of radiation that he's basically going through the whole, like, dead man walking stage. So feels like
no
everything
superpowers,
is
though.
No,
or is
no,
it yeah
no.
getting superpowers and becoming Crab Man?
Would I yes. be Man Crab, because this crab has a man's arm, I think we determined.
Yeah, you'd be
so
man
that would be
crab
man. No, maybe
you'd
it would
be
man
crab.
We're going into a man turned into a crab. We're getting into a whole man bat Batman dilemma here.
Do a poll somewhere.
Who knows? And then we have Taylor, who I believe last we checked off was hucking a frag grenade at the large gash, which healed up behind him as he pushed his way into the tunnel.
Which I'm sure is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, how far from the gash do you suspect Taylor is?
Probably a good 30 feet.
All right. Well, can you do... What am I going to make you do for that, then? You're going to huck it at the thing.
Yep.
You have military training?
I do not.
All right. Then just do a combat. Why not?
Excellent. 98.
That's not good.
It's not good.
How do these stupid grenades work again? You whipped it over at the gash, and no, I don't want failure. That's not fun. You threw it, but you didn't hold it for long enough. And so it kind of like you whipped it and it went all the way to the end of the tunnel and kind of landed and ding, 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 like went all the way up kind of against the wall. But for a few seconds, you're kind of like worried that maybe it didn't go off. And thus you stood up and the explosion happens. And so I'm going to make you do a body save.
Why would I stand up next to a grenade?
Well, it's not like right next to the grenade.
Sounds like you might be.
With a 98. That just means I fail at the combat.
You're like, hey, did I pull a pin on my grenade before I threw it? Maybe I should go pick it up.
Or maybe I shouldn't go near a live grenade, whether I pulled the pin or not. 92.
The equivalent of trying to shoot your gun and it's not going, so you look down the barrel.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, one of those D10s is going
You're
to jail.
Stupid you... to do
yeah,
that.
Seriously. So Taylor stands up, and the concussive force of the explosion is enough to kind of knock you back into the wall. Especially since you failed your body save. I don't know how much.
Is he concussed?
No. It's more like I don't know how much damage to really...
Is it underwater?
No. No, so the tunnel... The weird thing about the gash kind of sealed it up. So this tunnel is completely empty of water.
Right.
I don't know. Let's just do... Do a D6.
Two. If you're taking a D6, imagine what that gash is about to take.
So you take 2 damage from the concussive force as you get knocked against the wall, which I'm assuming is not enough based on your get through your armor, right?
It is not.
Okay. So you're just a little bit jostled. It's a frag grenade. So a massive the explosion goes off, you kind of fly backwards slightly, hit the wall, and as you do that, you see that the explosion like forced the gash outward and it rips apart like as like a bubble of it kind of forms out, pushes out into the water. It slowly rips apart like a wet tissue that's slowly dissolving on the surface of a toilet bowl. And then as you kind of feel your brain jostle slightly as you hit the wall, You hear the water start rushing into the tunnel. And I think... Does Taylor swim?
I mean, he's got his suit on.
Yeah, I know. But does he swim normally, or is he basically going to get carried away by the current?
I'm pretty sure no matter how good a swimmer anyone is, they're getting carried away
That's
by
true.
That current.
Yeah, we're just going with this. Water's rushing in, picks up Taylor, and flushes him like being flushed down a toilet. Through the tunnel. And we'll deal with that soon enough, I guess. as he gets thrown around and jostled and...
You're gonna have to go through the space sewer looking for our friend?
Maybe. So, let's go back to Penn, then, who is now at the bottom of the stairs. You know, feeling panicky, I guess.
Yep. So I no longer have air.
Bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Do you not have... I guess your hazmat suit's probably linked here. Yeah.
Well, you didn't need, like, the, there's an atmosphere on the planet. Right, so, like, when you're in here, you can breathe without your suit.
But the stairs are underwater, right?
Oh, well, I'm saying you basically, you've climbed up the stairs enough that you're, like...
Okay.
Because it was a 20-second
swim.
You're
breathing air again instead
of
water.
It was a 20-second swim from the inside of the reactor down through the hatch back up to kind of...
Okay.
The dry part of the stairs.
And Man Crab is stuck on the other side of the hatch still?
Yes. He is, but suddenly you start seeing bubbles coming up from further down the stairs.
In size compared to the hole that Penn went through.
Yeah, no, it's not. It didn't come through the hole. It's just like sitting somewhere else low in the stairs. You start seeing a very dark shadow of something swimming up towards you.
Okay.
Taylor had left a flamethrower there. Is it still there, or did the Marines take it?
Well, I'll assume the Marines took it.
Okay. Those bastards. Are they still here?
Red stole
our
weaponry.
Sorry, I missed all of that.
That's okay. Mike was talking about how terrible they were, which I agree with, for taking the flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't wait for me either, I assume.
No, of course not.
Of course not. But they did
well,
come
they didn't,
this...
But they didn't come this way.
Oh, okay. Were they breaking for the other door?
Yes.
Around the catwalk? Okay.
Yes. Because remember, you had fired, like, basically a zip line from the one side all the way to the other. And the plan was to zip line all the way across to get to the door.
Yeah.
But you got swiped.
Okay.
And so they kind of just like cut their losses and ran around to the side heading for the door.
Okay.
Wouldn't
so
the flamethrower still be there?
If he went back, potentially. Are you talking about the flamethrower?
There's the rocket launcher on the body.
So the flamethrower would still be in the reactor room then.
No, I left. I didn't want to take the flamethrower underwater. So
oh,
I left
right.
When we went downstairs.
Then yes, it is here.
Okay. I'll take that.
Burn them.
Arson
is always the answer.
I mean, I'm going to try and get back to like the main, whatever, the headquarters of the reactor building.
So are you going back up the stairs like the way that you kind of came?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Well, originally we rappelled in the chimney. There was an alternate route to get down here, but I don't know my way around. So yeah, I think I'm gonna at least try and get back to the ropes.
Yeah, so you guys, the way that you would come in was you rappelled down the chimney. About halfway down, you came in through a sealed door, which led you to the spillways from the reactor room.
Mm-hmm.
You walked down the spillways, and it brought you to another hatch, which you then went through, and then there was a set of stairs that went both up and down.
Right.
And you took them down to get over to the reactor room.
Ooh, I guess I could continue going up.
So you run up the stairs, and a couple of floors, you hear something like climb out of the water, and just kind of like, you hear this like grating sound as of like bone grinding against metal, as this thing seems to be like heaving itself up the stairs. You look down and you think you catch a glimpse of like fleshy kind of pink skin. And I'm assuming you just keep running up the stairs.
Yep.
Cool.
I'll try and be moderately quiet so I can listen to see if it's gaining. I assume it continues making noise as it.
Oh yeah, and it is gaining. It is basically like throwing itself up constantly. You know, you hear it kind of banging against the floors and against the walls as it's just like literally throwing itself up each of these kind of stairs as it spirals up towards you.
Do I reach any other, are there any other landings or branches?
Yeah, so right now you get to the hatch, to the spillways. It's still below you, but gaining. Stairs do continue up still.
I'm not going to be able to rappel up. Oh, I guess if I get to the rope, it might not be able to climb the chimney. So I'm gonna go spillways. I'm gonna try and get to the ropes before it catches me.
Okay. You put your shoulder through the door and kind of push through, and then as you get immediately to the other side, you turn around and you slam it shut and kind of lock it closed. And you hear something roar as it just like slams into the other side of the door. The spillways. Nothing really to report in here. As you walk across, the body is still kind of trapped by the grate.
So the rocket launcher is probably still there? Not that I'm going to go there for it. Actually, has the thing broken through yet?
Nope. You hear it bang like three or four times and then it kind of stops. Because it's one of those, I picture it as one of those like heavy reinforced submarine style doors.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bulkhead door. That's a better one.
Okay.
Always been wondering if you put that rocket launcher there to help us or if it's a trap.
Yeah. Chekhov's rocket launcher. Were we able to tell how deep the spillways the water is?
That's a good question. No. The water, though, is moving very fast.
Okay.
So you're pretty sure if you fell in, you would be sucked up and probably drowned.
Okay. And how far across is it to the other side?
Ten feet.
That's not that far. It's close enough to tempt me. But no, I'm gonna keep going.
Yeah.
I was just looking at my kit from my and I have a salvage drone, but I think we determined that I didn't have a footage. Can carry up to 20 to 30 kilos. Is a rocket launcher 60 pounds?
Let's look it up. RPG loot. Okay, a rocket-propelled grenade launcher. Typically, it weighs about 15 pounds, it looks like.
Am I trying to use my salvage drone to get the rocket launcher? Which I should have done when we were on our way down here, but...
I mean, I don't see why not.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So it requires two hands to operate, so I mean, put down or stow whatever I'm carrying. 3 kilometer range, up to 450 meters height, 2 hours of power, and then you can equip it with a bunch of like sensors and stuff, but I don't have any of those, and then it can carry 20 to 30 kilos.
Cool. Okay. I don't think I really need to beat your roll for that, because why would I? That just seemed dumb.
I'm sacrificing time. That's the...
pretty much. You're able to get across. Your drone is able to fly across. It kind of grabs the rocket launcher and pulls. And as it starts to pull, the body kind of comes with it, and it kind of like stops for a second and starts kind of straining as it's trying to pull this thing out, and then eventually it does rip free from the body. Like a really gross human crane game situation. And you fly back across to you, and you see it is an LAT-90 rocket launcher. It's got a single missile in it, and okay. It has some pig scrawled on the side.
What?
Yep.
Okay. So I gotta call it Charlotte, or is that the...
Sorry?
I gotta call it Charlotte or something, is that the... Okay.
I guess.
Alright, well, I'm gonna take that and continue my hopeful escape.
Sweet! Yeah, you get to the, chimney, and you find the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's Penn's background again?
Teamster. I think he has the heavy machine or industrial equipment, jury rigging and some zero G.
Okay. But look, climbing this rope is hard, man. You got a lot of heavy shit on.
Yep.
I'm gonna make you roll. Yeah, let's just do strength.
Hey. None of my skills. I don't think any of my skills will do me any good here. So. Oh, close one. Failure though.
Okay. So you're gonna take a stress, and Mike, sorry, you should have taken a stress for failing the. Thing before. Good. The climb is really tough. It takes you a long time. You almost think you're going to slip and fall down at one point. But you do get to the top. Your hands hurt from the having to kind of heave yourself up constantly and the potential rope burn. But you get back up to the top of the chimney. You're basically just walking right back to the garage from here. Or running right back to the garage from here.
Yeah. Running is probably more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
A different character might have fired the rocket launcher down into the reactor, but I don't think Penn is that character.
That would have been fun. Anyway, you get back into the garage. You see your two teammates with a bound scientist sitting in the APC.
Oh, no.
And
rocking out to the radio.
They see this shredded Pen with rocket launcher over one shoulder, flamethrower dangling from the other arm, probably dripping
wet
water and blood from the gash in his suit.
Assume your eyes are already sinking in from the radiation.
Yeah, probably any exposed flesh is looking
sickly.
Yeah. Sunburned.
You're singing a duet in the APC.
You're not enjoying cartoon, like cartoons, whatever is like playing.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
It's, I kind of look at the doctor and do you have any radiation pills?
I peel back the doctor's duct tape on their mouth.
I probably had some pills down in my lab. You know, if some people had let me
shut the tape right after.
Where's the lab?
The lab's pretty dangerous.
It's kind of a lost cause. As a scientist myself, I can speak in that.
The door is unlocked and the doctor no longer... Or the door is locked and the doctor no longer has the code.
Look, too bad. If I don't get those pills, I'm a lost cause.
It's a pretty dangerous feat to go down to the lab.
I mean, I think Penn's gonna go. I mean, you're not telling him what's down there, you're just telling him it's dangerous. But
I don't know what's down there.
He just got exposed to a reactor.
Should we give him the code for the door? I don't
know. Willing
to go for the radiation pills, should we get him?
As you guys are talking about that, you hear like slight alarm chirping, and over the radio in the garage you hear the voice, a voice that you slightly recognize as Brookman, the platoon medic, and he very kind of quickly is just like, mission accomplished, we retook the tower and we got the we were able to call the dropship for evacuation.
You did?
Everybody needs to get off this rock. Be in the garage in half an hour, and we're gonna coordinate our escape out of here.
Half an hour is enough time for me to go get those pills.
Do we take him to get the pills?
Does Penn know anything about radiation poisoning? Does he know that the pills are just delaying the inevitable? Does he know if time is of the essence? Like,
I mean, so Penn's a teamster.
Yeah, but he's more mechanical, less...
Well, I mean, I don't know. What's,
We asked the doctor?
Yeah, that's good.
Let's remove the tape for a quick sec, yeah.
Look, Doc, I don't know how serious this is, but my suit got ripped while I was swimming next to the reactor.
I peel back the tape.
Like, right next to the reactor?
I was in the room.
And you swam right in the water?
I mean, it wasn't intentional.
But your exposed skin touched the water right around the reactor, which was basically overloaded.
Yeah.
How do I put this nicely? Do you have any immediate family?
No.
Alright, then there's no time. Then there's probably no time for you to care about contacting anybody else.
I'm gonna elect to make a panic check.
Probably a good idea. And be like, should we throw him a going away party?
She also just looks at you. She's like, how long ago did you hit the water?
I mean, would have been like Probably 10 minutes. I guess, however, the longest thing was probably climbing up the chimney. How long did that take me?
Yeah, it probably would have been, I'd say, like 20 to 30 minutes at this point.
Okay, yeah.
Because it was coming all the way back up, and then...
Yeah.
Just kind of like, well, you know, enjoy this while you can. You probably have about half an hour that's still, you know, pleasant.
Hey, man, that's at the same time as the evacuation.
But then we can get him off this planet, and we can get him into like a med facility, and it'll be fine.
What, Doc? Will it be fine?
Happened,
Doc, will it be fine if I get off, get out of here?
Sure. Yeah, it could be fine.
And hot chocolate. And you'll be feeling better in no time.
My panic roll has left me anxious. So Pen is going to go sit in a corner for a moment. Just do a bit of breathing.
Yeah. That broadcast. Do I think that maybe it went to the hive?
Sorry?
That broadcast that just went out. I think that maybe that went to the hive?
Hard to tell. Probably not, because
probably didn't, or probably I don't think it did.
Probably it doesn't. Probably it didn't, because it's coming through the speakers within the garage. So
okay.
It's gonna be like internal kind of communications.
Not on like the radio frequency.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. So we just gotta hold out for 30 minutes. So I turn up the radio in the APC.
Also, probably about this point, while Penn is sitting in the corner, starting to get really nauseous and probably vomits.
I'm gonna turn back down the APC radio and open the door and say, hey Penn, where's Taylor?
Hey, actually, last I saw him, he was on the catwalk, right?
Yes.
He was down there, probably left with Valdez.
Hey, Penn, where's Valdez?
You mean the bastard who left me down there to die?
And fine. At about
you're a little sensitive right now.
At about that point, you see Valdez come limping back in, kind of with her arm under, like, supporting Weaver, and Franco.
I'll open the door and say, hey, Valdez, where's Taylor?
She just looks back at you and just like, how the fuck should I know? I lost two more people down there.
Gotcha. Sensitive time. I'll shut the door.
Penn, after vomiting a bit, you know, a little bit of clarity comes back to his eyes, walks up to Valdez, like, you know, aggressively close, says, thanks for the help, and then walks back out the way he came, towards the top of the chimney.
Oh, don't go back. Penn, you've got everything on the left.
Yeah, we get this plane attack. Yeah.
So, are you guys just hanging out for 30 minutes?
I just need to keep the doctor safe for 30 minutes, and then we're good, so...
I mean, we should probably consider Taylor as well to see if we can find him.
See... Bringing Taylor back is not part of the mission. The mission is to secure the doctor. And the doctor has been secured, and I need to ensure the security maintains.
That is half the mission.
The other half is also me. The other half was optional for the droid. The droid was optional. I have it right here.
Was it optional though?
I think it was droid or research. Because the droid
has the droid or its memory core.
I have doctor for sure. If doctor's dead, droid's memory core.
No,
whether it comes within the droid or not doesn't matter.
Well, my instructions to you were to evacuate Dr. Edom, as well as the colony's synthetic science officer, Hinton, or at least retrieve his logic core. Chart.
Oh, we didn't get the high memory. Oh, I felt the memory core.
We got half an hour. We could probably get it, maybe.
I'm pretty sure it was 2 hours up to the hive, wasn't it?
It is. I don't know.
An hour there, an hour back.
Sorry, it was the... Which science officer?
Hinton.
Oh, the droid. Gotcha. Yeah. Yep.
See, as Roy stands there downloading, re-downloading the whole plan.
He's freaking out, and he's like, I can't. If I go, I might lose all progress. But if I stay, I only complete half the mission. But I need to.
Roy is panicking.
And if I go, I won't complete any of the mission.
Mm.
I get out and I go sit in the corner of
the bed. Just like rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
Chet says sorry to me, like, well, to be fair, I did.
Mission.
What's Chet doing?
Chet's trying to at least calm everyone down by, like, well, I mean, to be fair, I did get by in school with at least half the bare minimum, so I mean that could be understandable.
I'm surprised Penn's not going after Chet's, like, a leader goes down with his ship and saves his crew kind of thing.
Yeah, did Penn walk back out to the chimney? Is that an actual thing, or what are you doing there?
Well, at the moment I'm waiting. I'm just checking my inventory to see if I have any
he jumps.
What's my trinket here? Oh. My trinket is a collection of smut. The captain, ordered.
Nice. What? Ben.
Maybe have a seat. Pull that out. Flip through.
I have a bonsai tree.
And I only have duct tape. Well, a couple of things with duct tape.
Penn is like watching. I assume he roughly knows the direction of the tower where I imagine the dropship would be landing, so he's watching that direction.
So about 20 minutes after kind of the message has gone up, you guys see Brookman come into the garage, leading his team. They're kind of running around. He sees you and he's just kind of like, oh shit, you guys still alive. Cool, okay, are you you getting out with us, or the doctor's tied up there.
it's a funny story, you know.
We had to
I'm not gonna
you know, try and yuck on anybody's yum here or anything like that. Just whatever. He kind of turns around.
Hey, I'm not the one with smut. See, it's gonna take like 45 minutes or longer to get Taylor back, because it was like, what, 25-30 minutes for you to climb up that chimney, so
Unless there's, yeah, a different
Taylor
method.
Yes, sir.
At that point, you wake up. Luckily, your suit has not been compromised.
Whew. Small miracles.
Small miracles. You find yourself in a long tunnel. So essentially, as you kind of look around in the dim light of your suit, you look around and realize that kind of the hole that had been bored through, which you've kind of been brought down, has ended in another kind of large looking drainage tunnel. It looks to be about 200 meters long. So you've kind of like, you've come through the bored rock and then it kind of goes down at an angle. It's still kind of circular, but now kind of more like less circular, more ovalish. And down the center of this tunnel is a black ooze that's kind of trickling all the way down to the bottom of it. And the walls on either side, you see that they're pockmarked with what look like small chambers. Mm-hmm. You hear water dripping from the ceiling, hitting the stone.
He's dead.
Are there any big hatches around here?
Sorry?
Are there any hatches around here?
Nope. You basically just have this kind of tunnel in front of you, or the large, long, well, you don't know how long, kind of tunnel that you were just flushed down behind you.
But, like, back the other way.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like a T-junction, and I can go one way or another. It's like, no. You either go forward or back.
Correct.
Then off forward I go.
Great.
Where to go but up.
You start walking down the tunnel. So like I said, there are these small chambers kind of pockmarking the wall. And
yeah,
it looks
into one as I pass by.
Great, it's filled with human bodies. Human body parts. Sorry. That are grafted to the walls.
Okay, continuing.
As you're kind of looking, you're also realizing as you've looked at them, you see bits of like arms and legs and faces, and they still kind of twitch.
Definitely just
face is still kind of like they don't seem stuck in like a look of agony. They're kind of like moving still. Gesticulating, if you will. Great. You keep going down. And you find at the bottom a large metallic web.
A web?
A web.
Or like a grate?
A web.
A web. How large?
We'll say it's like as thick as a steel cable.
Can I get past it at all? Or is it covering the whole walkway?
So the tunnel has gone down, and it basically is kind of like squeezing and eventually kind of like effectively closing off. The water is still kind of flowing through somehow, or the ooze is still flowing through somehow. But there's just like a web kind of from this. Oh, this is really weird and really hard to try and describe. It's
maybe it's not meant to be described then.
Yep. It just says it kind of terminates. So the way that I'm seeing it, like, the tunnel like kind of ends. This web kind of like goes up,
like a spider's nest in a corner or something, like
you sort know, of. A spider but makes a but, nest in a but you can see it like the web, like it you can climb it and it can go up.
Oh.
I'm going to, like, I'm going to take the crowbar.
Okay.
And I'm going to use it to, like, pluck one of the webs, one of the strands.
Okay.
And then I'm going to back away a bit and see if anything happens.
You hear it kind of like twang with a very like low frequency. You hear it kind of hum all the way up the length of it. But nothing really happens.
All right, I'll climb.
Fun. You climb the web and it seems to eventually bring you to the wall of a cylindrical chamber of sorts. It's a large ribbed tower. So I picture it like a rib cage. A big cylinder. You notice a warty polyp. There's a large beach ball sized nodule in the floor in front of the polyp. There are some fleshy calcified tendrils.
This description just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it?
I know.
Why can't you just turn back?
Nowhere to go but forward. There is no going back. There's a nuclear reactor.
Ben did it.
They possibly...
Yes, well, for Penn, there is literally no going back.
And Chad is just along for the ride.
Yeah. He's just vibing in the APC while Rory's having a mental breakdown.
Stand and keep looking into this room, like the warty polyp, you notice it's pulsating a weird yellow light. And it seems to have one of these large, like, carcinid like limbs poking out of it. On the ground, kind of almost near the it seems to be made of some kind of metal because it looks rusty.
This egg-like thing with a carcinid claw coming out of it.
So the egg-like thing isn't rusty. The carcinid thing coming out of it is rusty.
Metal crack claw.
Yeah.
Crap, man.
Honestly, I don't understand what you're not getting about this.
Can I keep climbing the webbing?
So, you see that the webbing continues on the other side of the room.
Can I? You said there's these calcified, fleshy tendril.
I'm sorry, you don't see any more webbing. I lied.
Seeing things now in here. That's not a good sign.
Mm.
Talking to myself, too, because there's no one else to hear me right now.
Exactly.
Not going crazy at all.
Is there any opening? Is there any light? Or am I using the light for my suit right now?
Well, the warty polyp is
yeah, it's yeah,
creating some light.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Is there any natural light?
Nope.
In all fairness, I don't think this planet has natural light.
So there's no further along the webbing. There's no ways out of this room that I can see. All right, I will explore.
Yep.
I will explore the circumference of the room.
Cool.
Yeah, but I don't want to explore the stuff in this room. I want to get out of here.
So as I said, this room is also full of these fleshy calcified tendrils, which seem to come out of the walls and like crisscross.
I'm going to avoid those if I can.
To the floor. As you're kind of coming around, so you're walking around the circumference of the room. If at any point you feel like you step slightly closer to the center, to this beach ball sized nodule, you start feeling this slight hum, almost like electricity. As you're kind of searching, you find behind a section of the wall another one of these second metallic nodules connected to a polyp. So now you have two of these weird pulsating metallic limb things.
Perfect.
Do you poke either of them?
No.
Oh, okay.
Something tells me that's not a good idea. Especially since Cody suggested it.
For metal. Nothing bad's ever happened with metal.
There's nothing else in this room. Just these tendrils, these metal nodules.
Correct. And then there's a section in the wall that you came from where you could go back down the webbing.
What's above me?
Ribs, and then a ceiling.
Does this structure look natural or man-made?
Trick question. I don't know. Both.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Does it look human-made? Like, is this human architecture?
No. I mean, if you're taking the time to look at it that way, please roll a panic check for me.
Okay.
I feel like you walked into the mouth of something.
That's fine.
I just did that because Mike is trying to apparently understand the architecture of some kind of alien species.
It seems
weirdly organic. So.
Taylor is trying to wonder if he's in a human building and it's worth finding an exit, or a non-human building, in which case he's in just trouble.
I think you're in a creature.
I was going to say, does the inside of a crab not have like little ridges, like ribs?
Yep.
Well, you know what they say, the safest part of a crab to be in is the inside.
Do they?
Well, that's where all the squishy meat bits are that you can punch. Oh,
like, who is this they, and why are you talking to them if these are the things they're saying to you?
That's the byline when you open the adventure module. The secret part of the crab is on the inside.
All right, I'm gonna go over and poke one of these nodules with the crowbar.
Mike.
So sorry, you're poking the nodule, not one of the polyps. Nodules in the center of the room.
In the center, those are the ones with the
claws. The polyps are the ones with the claws.
And where are the polyps?
They're on the walls.
They're on the walls?
Yes. So they're kind of like situated like in the wall with like this claw protrusion kind of out.
There is no way I'm touching one of those.
Was it the polyp or the nodule that's glowing?
The polyps are glowing. The nodule is the thing that's giving Mike like the sense of electricity.
I'm going over to the electrical doodad.
Okay.
Nothing like touching metal onto something electrical.
I have a hazard suit on. It's insulated.
Yeah. It definitely makes your hair stand up, though. This thing is charged.
Can I charge my expended energy from my suit?
No. Because I don't want to deal with how that works.
This thing doesn't have a USB. Mom, everything has a USB port.
Do the thing you know that I want you to do.
And what do you want me to do, Cody?
Well, let's see. You're in a room with a thing that's clearly like electrically charged, and there are metal tendrils coming out of things on the walls.
Yep.
Don't do it, Mike.
Are you pop?
Look, I promise you won't die.
Don't do it, Mike. It's a trap.
Wait, are you suggesting these tendrils look like they might connect to this nodule?
The metal ones that are sticking out of the polyps, they look like, and they are like articulated. It looks like you could get them to touch the nodule.
Oh, but this is coming out of the polyp.
Yes.
Well, that's a horrible, horrible idea. What's the wall made out of? What happens if I hit the wall with the crowbar?
The wall is made out of... the wall is wet.
That wasn't the question, Cody.
It has the feeling of, like, muscle tissue.
You're in a thing.
That's...
And again, it's wet.
You're in a mouth.
Or a brain. Don't crabs have super simple little nerve clusters?
Did you say the polyps are metallic too?
The polyps are not metallic. I did not say that.
No, okay. I want to fire my nail gun into one.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Okay. You fire your nail gun into one.
Yeah.
The light kind of twitches. It just keeps pulsating.
What happens to the nail?
It like embeds into the flesh, and like some of the... It starts like bleeding down the wall.
Oh.
You're in something.
Yeah. This is starting to feel... But... All right, I'll do it.
He did it. You pick up the tip of one of these metal tendrils, and you kind of move it over and then drop it. And as soon as it connects to the nodule, you hear this kind of like zap of energy travel through it.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of the wall like retracts.
Oh my god.
Why'd you give him what he wanted?
You see a corridor.
Oh my god.
Hey, maybe find Hinton and he can bring his logic core and meet us for the ship to come.
Yeah, it leads you to a corridor, this very kind of small, cramped, concealed. A corridor that, do you want to, are you going to go down it?
Yep, sure am. Get away from those weird polyps with glowing bits.
You'd say the only way to go is forward.
Okay. So, this says you pass through it, and it opens on a concealed tube near the mouth of a noble. Now that... Oh, a noble carcinid. That's cool. Okay.
So you were inside one.
You're gonna do a you're gonna do a fear save for that.
Oh, I come in.
Nope, that's a failure. Which I guess is a stress.
It is a stress. So basically, to set the scene of this, you've essentially crawled out of the throat of this absolutely massive carcinid as you kind of birth out onto the floor. You turn around and you see the absolute gargantuan scale of this thing.
Hey, Mike, if you're walking out its mouth, that means you went in its butt.
Better than the other way around.
Is it?
Would you like to go into its mouth and come out its butt? You know what that means?
I don't want
to
go in it at all.
So here's the thing.
Uh-oh. Here's the
thing. You find yourself in a room full of, oh, that's a picture of it. Cool, okay, we'll show that in a second.
Oh, God.
It was basically what have I done? Enema at this point.
So, you've come down, you've birthed out of the mouth of this thing, and you're on the top of a giant staircase. Okay? Inside this impossibly large cavern. To your left and right are two more equally large carcinids with massive cyclopean staircases that run down parallel to yours. And as you've kind of turn around and come to, you notice a figure staring at you. It's clearly an android.
Is it me?
It's not.
Hinton?
He's just staring at you for the moment, kind of fingers steepled together, and you see he's flanked six carcinids on either side.
Hi, Hinton.
Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm the perfect being that is going to meld with a carcinid noble and transcend my mortal coil. That's who I am.
Excellent. Sounds good. Don't let me stop you.
Oh, okay. Are you here by accident?
Point me to the exit. Yeah.
By accident? Is that the whole thing?
Yeah. No, I took a wrong turn. If you could just point me to the way out of this place, that would be great. And I'll just leave you to transcend this mortal coil.
Okay.
And
yeah. Sure.
I will be on my way.
That's a great idea. And he snaps his fingers, and six of the carcinids kind of.
Ooh, I'm gonna
come right
back
up behind
away.
Him. Hold on. They come up like right up behind him. You hear him kind of like click, and skitter a little bit, and then they just kind of slowly approach you. They're not like menacing. They're just kind of like.
I don't know. They sound menacing.
It's kind of like, well, no. They'll show you the way out. It's totally fine.
Remind me, this was the we heard. What did we see in that ship's log?
It took some people, went disappeared.
Anton sabotaged all calm.
Yeah.
Ambushed the group after being missing for a week. Brought back persons. Mm-hmm. And is there a reason you can't just tell me the way out?
I'll
just leave you and your friends here, and I'll be on my way.
Sounds like he was in the middle of a wedding.
He thinks about it. It's also more like, do I know how to get you out of here? Well, how the heck did you get in before? Hold on.
You came in through the butt.
I know it's not a part of it, but I just picture this guy being like, how do you get out of here? Just chatting with the crowd, being like, is it that way? I'm pretty sure they're like a right turn.
Did one of you bring the map?
Well, how the heck are we supposed to get out of here?
You're supposed to bring the map.
So you also see standing behind Hinton, actually, there's another human figure.
Probably the main story.
I don't think you remember your org chart, so I don't think you really probably care who it is.
I have my org chart. Who is it?
Okay.
I have my org chart open right now.
Taylor recognizes it as Dr. Jensen.
Ooh, Dr. Jensen was the geologist.
Yep.
He's the guy that they said he took through the pipe.
Hinton kind of looks at you and just like, oh, okay. Oh, sorry, yes, I forgot that these things kind of make people uncomfortable. That's fine. Jensen, can you show this gentleman back out through the ship? Like, well, aren't I needed to assist with the surgery? And like, Jensen, you're a geologist. I'll do the surgery on the way on it. It's fine. Okay, fine, if I have to. He starts.
Well, hang on. What kind of surgery is it?
Well, I told you, I'm going to transcend to become one with one of the nobles.
Do you need any sort of cybernetic neural links to be surgeried there? That's kind of my specialty.
Oh, you're one of those who could be useful.
Uh-oh, shouldn't have said that.
I mean, since you've offered up your services, sure.
What's he gonna do? It's not like he's gonna fight all of us off. So sure, come on in.
And he brings you through, kind of behind some kind of a plastic barrier that's been put up, and you see that he's effectively started to like kind of pull apart part of the carapace of this gigantic creature. And he's just like, actually, you know, it's perfect timing. I mean, what I was planning to do was to essentially, kind of weave through these nerve fibers here, and you see him like pulling up this like bundle of these like kind of thin, wet, wispy fibers, and he's just kind of going like, well, I was gonna just initially I was gonna take them and kind of like, you know, cut through the plastic at the back of my my body here, I guess, kind of pull it apart and then like kind of try and mesh the fibers together.
I can do that properly.
Could you though? Are you trying to bluff him or are you actually going to do it?
Cybernetics is my
I know.
I don't know yet.
He's still figuring it out.
Alright. Roll intellect for
I will say on the forefront of my mind is thinking about what do I know about androids and where is his power source. That's certainly true. But it may be safer for me to just do the surgery and be done with it. Sorry, roll which? Intelligence?
Yep.
Nope. That's a failure.
Okay, take a stress. Yep. He kind of like squints at you. Well, there is going to come a point where I'm going to have to, you know, turn this body off and be absorbed into the other one. And really the only other person I had to rely on for that part was Jensen. But, cybernetics expert, you say? Okay. How do we test this quickly? Well, here's how we do it. He snaps his fingers, and one of the karks steps up and cuts off his forearm, just like slices it clean off.
Oh.
All right.
I think I needed that.
Well, you're going to put it back on.
I will do just that.
Okay, roll cybernetics.
Yep.
Perfect.
Do I have? I forget. It's been so long since I've actually rolled a skill.
It
is that attached
10.
To one of the 25? The 20. It's a master skill.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So you're gonna do.
Like I rolled 100, right? And it's intellect.
It's
okay,
intellect.
That was yeah. 20. Yeah, and then plus 20. Well, I got a 28.
Perfect.
That's a success.
So it does take you a bit of time. It's about a half hour as you put his arm back on. We'll go back and deal with your friends in a sec, but I want to deal with this because this is weirder first. you do. I mean, it's you do it quickly. You're in a creepy organic looking cave. You don't have, you know, perfect equipment or anything, but you know, you pull out your portable.
Oh, I have my electrical toolkit.
You pull it all out and everything, and you do it. His hand functions. He's just kind of like, all right. I think that's reasonable. Let's do it. And he kind of like, just because we're gonna make this as absurd as possible, he turns around and there are two karks waiting there, holding up like surgical dressing, like surgical dresses for doctors. Yeah, and he walks up and like puts his arms through it, and another kark like comes up behind him and like somehow does up the little things behind, and there's another one still holding one up, clearly looking at Taylor, just like,
this is the weirdest surgery I've ever
heard. It's like a weird turn.
And he steps up and
I will scrub
your arms through and get scrubbed in.
And then they wheel out a table, a metal table, and Hinton lays face down on it and somehow is like got his arms behind him and is like, you know, cutting and peeling and putting the bringing the fibers out that run from his logic core to the central processing areas of his body or whatnot. One of the other carks like kind of gingerly picks up the bundles of fibers, nerve fibers that Hinton had been kind of prying out of the wall before, starts kind of bringing them over. And you just kind of, I guess, stand there and watch this for a bit. We'll say about another half hour. Why not? And then as the fibers are brought over, and Hinton kind of grabs them and starts trying to, like, shove them into the back of his neck. After that, he's kind of like, okay, I didn't even get your name. Sorry, buddy. You're my cybernetics expert here, but, what do I call you?
We can stick with cybernetics expert, I think.
Okay. Well, I promise you, you're going to be the first organic to be transplanted into one of these things. This is the moment. I'm going to go dark. So, what you got to do is you really got to make sure that the fibers stay in contact for the entire length of the upload process, which should take, I don't know, say 10 minutes.
All right.
I wonder if he'll let you take his logic for as a memento of his lovely moment.
Okay. Are you just you holding it down for the 10 minutes? Full 10 minutes?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. So as the fibers come in contact, there's this hum, and suddenly you see these kind of blue pulsing light start coming out of the android's body and moving up through the nerve fibers of this creature. And over the period of time, it continues to get stronger and stronger until the light is almost blinding. And it starts to get hot. Luckily, they've scrubbed you in with some nice rubber gloves, which are, you know, able to withstand a good amount of the heat. But you still feel it. And then finally, after about 10 minutes, the glow starts to recede and recede and recede until it has one kind of final pulse of green light, and then it stops.
Excellent. I'm going to eject the logic core from this thing.
Okay. You do. And then suddenly the creature over top of you starts to move.
Yep. This thing's enormous, right?
Oh, yeah. Towering over top of you. It's kind of like, okay. Oh, Mr. Cybernetics Expert, thank you very much for your help.
No problem. Now, the way out, it was the second door on the left? Third?
Oh, well, see, the thing is that now that you've helped, I don't really think I can let you leave anymore.
Okay.
I'm gonna run.
Okay. I'm gonna say he doesn't really give chase because he's in a giant, awkward body now.
Oh, yeah, you still
learn how to use it.
You're just running mindlessly, right? Like, you're going, what, down the steps?
I'm thinking back the way I came.
You can't. You're going to go through the body, which is now the thing he's inhabiting?
Oh, that was that one?
You yeah. Said
there was, oh, that was that you one. Run to where the
body okay. Then, no, I'm going to randomly run.
Cool. Run in 10 steps.
You're running down the steps.
I hope he makes it.
Thank you, Zoe.
I think we all do.
For us to open the garage door and him be like running in.
Oh, you guys have already left. You guys have already left.
Oh, we already left. Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, so you keep running down. And,
that's too bad if you make it and you run to the garage and all gone.
You basically, like, you find yourself running through these passages, through this kind of cavernous membrane, and it brings you to a kind of a coral passage, which as you kind of keep running and then get to, you notice a hole in the ceiling. You climb yourself up and out, and suddenly you find yourself on top of a spaceship that is sitting on the side of a mountain. And as you kind of look off in the rain, in the distance, you think you see the kind of the exhaust flares of a spaceship that is just breaching the atmosphere. Sorry, the surgery took
to help with that.
Surgery took too long. The dropship did come. Your friends and the various other people who are still alive got on board, and everybody gets up to the ship. And you get up there, and as you guys kind of enter back into your wonderful ship, you find Moss with his feet up watching a TV show, and as you guys kind of come in, he's just kind of like, oh, you're back, oh shit, how'd it go?
Can we get medical attention for Penn?
Oh, I wasn't on the ship.
No? You didn't go on the ship?
No, I was gonna be dead before the ship got here. She told me 30 minutes.
You weren't
gonna
feel good starting when the ship got there.
Yeah.
Oh,
you could get on the ship.
Okay. I got on the ship.
You're back up there, and you've basically like progressed. You vomited the whole way up. You're bleeding from your eyes. He kind of looks at you and he's just like, I don't know, shit, get him in a med pod and let's see what happens.
Escort Penn to the med pod.
Let's see what happens.
Throw Penn in the med pod. He immediately falls asleep. The machine is like wearing all these warnings, like, what the fuck? Who let this guy have so much radiation?
Chet just looks at him.
Should not treat a human body this way.
He didn't know any better.
I didn't have a choice.
We'll have a chat with him after he's fixed up about, you know, respecting a human body and whatnot. We have to think we like carried him like fireman style to the bed pod, plopped him into it.
So, Moss is just kind of like, I tried calling down so many times, but, you guys were, having a fun time, I assume.
That's, a word. I don't know if it's the right word to describe things, but it's a word.
It flashes back to all the time he spent just rocking out to the music in the APC.
Great. Well, look, now you guys Now that you guys are back, minus one. Okay, anyway, I'm gonna go fill out some paperwork for that.
I just turned to Roy. It's like, you suppose Tyler's okay? I mean, he's probably turned out. He's probably fine. I'm sure he's fine down there.
He'll get to the tower and call us when he's ready to get picked up, I'm sure.
Yeah, the two of you, from whatever room you're hanging out in, you hear a yell.
Oh.
And a squelching sound of bones cracking.
Is it Penn in the med pod?
It's not. It's coming from Moss's office.
Oh, no.
You hear a shriek.
Here we go again.
And then you hear the alarms of the ship going off, saying that another vessel has been launched from the surface of SAMHSA 6.
Oh, no.
And that's the end.
No.
Yes.
Hinton's leaving the space. The planet.
Maybe it was Taylor.
Yeah, maybe Taylor's the only one that lives.
Although Taylor was also potentially what is sound infected, so.
That's so also true.
I think we got to end it with that, because I think that's just the worst way to end that gauntlet of a scenario.
I don't know, Taylor survived.
Yeah.
Looks like it.
We did all make it to the end.
You did. You did all make it to the end.
And it technically we did fulfill the whole mission. Taylor got the memory core.
Well, I didn't get it back to Moss.
No, but you did obtain it.
And I may or may not have created an immortal being that's going to, you know, terrorize the galaxy.
Oh, the implications of that are wonderful. So wonderful.
You couldn't have, for the last second, just disconnected something.
I
wanted to see.
I thought Mike was just gonna do like a oops.
No. You see, he's full of too much hubris. Mike wanted to see what was gonna happen.
My clumsy hands.
So yeah, guys, that's it. That's our introductory scenario to Mothership.
What an introduction it was.
How are you guys feeling?
Zoe
looks really mad at me.
In comparison to other games, I think this is one of our better games.
Yeah, does anybody have any thoughts?
All hail Hinton, our new galactic overlord.
I don't know about that.
Carson Inden.
Love it. I thought it was fun. I think for me, it really plays on the as a player wanting to discover more of the story or more of the environment or whatever, but as a character not wanting to discover anything.
Yes.
Poor Taylor didn't want to discover anything.
Also,
Taylor discovered a lot.
No, that was a lot of fun. Would definitely play again.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I'm a little bit shocked at where it went. I didn't expect the real result.
I think you told him to do it.
I mean, I didn't expect that this whole thing was going to resolve tonight, that's for sure. But Mike went there, so that's how it goes, I guess. If all else fails, agree to and see through the surgery to turn your android friends into immortal beings. Who will potentially rule the universe.
Yep. If you can't beat them, join them.
Why not? Well, look, if nobody really has any finishing thoughts for tonight, maybe we should end it there, because I still got to kind of digest how all of this makes me feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit shell-shocked.
All of us do.
So... next week, we're going to be back. We're playing a new game from T-Rex Games called Mission Impossible. All of my friends are going to be silly raccoons, which is very different from the ridiculousness which we just concluded here.
We're going to go and steal a memory core from an android.
The irony is not lost on me. But until then, this has been fun. You can find us at Corporate Crash Course on Twitch and YouTube, and CCCRPGs on Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, we'll be back next week, same crab place, same crab time, only this time we'll be playing as raccoons. So until then, see ya.